recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start here this morning. Joe Rex Road, welcome back to Nashville. How are you?
I'm okay. Sorry about your Packers.
Yeah, I'm not okay. They suck. They're terrible.
They had a chance, man. They had a chance. Of course, it was the Raiders.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the Raiders, and they had a chance. It was bad last night. Love, bad. LaFleur, we know he's bad. Defense, eh. Not good. They might win like three more games a whole year, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I think they're still like a 500-ish team. I could be wrong. I mean, Aaron Jones didn't play, right? Dylan was pretty good, though.
He finally figured out how to run the ball a little bit. That was something. But I will say we're 5 weeks into the season, Joe. The NFC North is over. It's done. Like, the Lions are going to win the division. It's done.
I'm so glad you said that, because at some point, like in December, when they've lost four in a row, that will be brought back.
They're the third best team in the NFC. I have no doubt about it.
See, I don't understand people saying that, because the Seahawks went into their place and beat them. So
the Seahawks also lost to the LA Rams. They're the third best team in the NFC.
I know they did, but I saw them play the Lions straight up and they won. That's fine. I mean,
I saw the Lions play the Chiefs straight up and they won too.
Without Kelsey and Chris Jones.
I understand. I'm just saying the head-to-head stuff. I'm telling you, the Lions are the third best team in the NFC behind San Francisco and Philadelphia.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously Dallas looked terrible against San Fran, but, you know, I don't know how many teams, when San Francisco wants to play its best, are not going to look awful against them. But I think regardless of whether it's them or the, you know, Cowboys, Seahawks, whatever, I think that there's two and then there's a bunch of other teams.
I agree with that. Yes, okay. I do agree with that. I think San Francisco and Philadelphia play each other at some point this year. And I need to check San Francisco's schedule. Somebody was talking about this. And I always love having these conversations, Joe, when we're, you know, 5 weeks into the season. San Francisco does look, you know, extremely good. But, there's talk about, are they going to go 17-0? Like, is 17-0 a possibility? And I'm like, guys, I hear you. It's week five. Let's let them get to, like, 10-0 or 11-0 before we start talking about that.
Yeah, in this league, it's just so – like, there's just going to be a week or two where it doesn't make sense, even for a team like that. I mean, like, I guess a year ago, you start right out losing to Justin Fields, you know?
Right.
So, but I get it. After a game that we thought was going to be one of the best of the entire season,
right?
I mean, I was hyped for it. You know, when they look like that, I get why it would come to mind. Cause they are pretty complete. I mean, like there's nothing on that team where I'm like, man, they just didn't have that one weakness, you know, then they'd really have something. I mean, they have a lot of stuff going on for them, but let me look at this. Let's look at the schedule. They're at the Browns.
Yeah. Bengals game is interesting if Burrow's healthy.
At the Seahawks. Boy, wait. So they do. They are at the Eagles. See, that's got to get flexed, right? At the Eagles, flex that.
I hope so.
Flex it right now. You know, I mean, at Seahawks, at Eagles. Yeah, the Bengals at home, at Browns. You know, look, I'm not going to put it past them, but I'm guessing a couple losses somewhere on that schedule, but still the best team in the NFC, maybe the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, really good. There's no question about that. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I am well. and it's time to drop the puck. So while football may be a little depressing for some people, at least hockey is back, gentlemen.
Yeah, it is game one for the Nashville Predators today, part of a triple header coming up on ESPN. They've got the Preds and the Lightning, the Blackhawks and the Penguins, and then the Kraken and the Golden Knights tonight on ESPN. Predators start at 4:30, pregame at 3:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So looking forward to that. And Joe, we'll be getting into the Predators a little bit later in the show here today. Looking forward to that. Big test for them early in the season against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know, Tampa Bay, maybe not the same. You know, they're sort of on the other side, I guess, of things, but still, you know, a lot of really good players, really good team. So it's going to be I'm not ready. I'm not at all ready for it. I'm never ready for it. But this is when sports gets just packed with hockey starting up and, you know, baseball playoffs really starting to heat up. The Braves last night, unbelievable win.
Yeah.
Everything's happening.
What a way to end the game last night for the Braves, too. Just a closeout double play, especially the way that they did it with the catch at the wall at center field and then doubling up Bryce Harper on the way back. So that series between the Phillies and the Braves evened up at one apiece. Mike Vrabel addressing the media yesterday in the aftermath of the loss to the Colts, and lots of different things came up in the Mike Vrabel press conference, one of which was the run defense and what went wrong for the Titans against the Colts when Zach Moss just destroyed them on the ground, looked like the second coming of Marshall Faulk out there, which we talked about yesterday. And Vrabel talked about the blocking and the inability to get off blocks for the Titans and had some interesting comparisons that he used. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Some of your suspicions, I guess, about what went wrong in run defense confirmed by watching tape.
Yeah, I mean, they blocked us. Yeah, I mean, they blocked us, and, you know, we got out of gaps. And you know, when you play peekaboo, those things happen.
So that was Vrabel yesterday, and the peekaboo part of it I found to be interesting. When you play peekaboo in the blocking game, he went on to say, how do you fix that? When you look at the blocking part of it and what Indy did, how do you fix that if you're the Titans moving forward? Here's what Vrabel had to say on that.
When they are blocking you like that, what have you got to do from a defensive standpoint, I guess from a player standpoint, to keep that from happening?
Keep them from blocking you. Yeah, put your hands in their chest and, you know, leverage your gap. When the ball runs through your gap, shed and tackle and swarm to the football. You know, so all the things that we've tried to do around here for a while. You know, sometimes, you know, and again, they broke one and, you know, KB was down there playing the quarterback, you know, on a run and, you know, he's been able to, and that's not on KB. That's just telling you where he was. Like, he was over there in case the quarterback pulled it, and, you know, he's been really good for us when he's in the middle of the field, that when that ball breaks like that, that we can, you know, he most usually likely gets him on the ground. He was over there playing the quarterback zone read game like we, you know, had told him to.
So that was Vrabel yesterday discussing the run defense and how Indy was able to gash him. You know, he talked about the peekaboo blocking part of it and, you know, kind of peering back into the backfield. I sense some frustration still remaining from the game from Vrabel yesterday, both at the start of the press conference where there was a nice expletive he threw out there as to how he was feeling after the game, and then his explanation on what happened to the Titans in their run defense. What did you think of what Vrabel had to say there with the Titans' run defense?
Yeah, well, one thing is it does confirm, like, that wasn't a Byard mistake. That was how they were playing it. Yep. And that's so that running play by Zach Moss, if Gardner Minshew's in the game at that point, then it's probably a 12-yard run and Byard makes the tackle, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that also kind of shows you when you have someone like Anthony Richardson, what it can do to a defense, how it can manipulate a defense. You know, you got to bring the safety over here to deal with that because it's a real problem. And so, you know, the Colts had a nice light box and you get your two linebackers blocked like they were. And, you know, look, watching again, I mean, Al Shire may have been held a little bit too, a little bit of Jersey, but that does happen. But both those guys get blocked and boom, all of a sudden there's just nothing, you know, between him and the end zone. And Zach Moss looks like a speedster, you know? So that was interesting. But yeah, that peekaboo. It's funny. Actually, like I know people want me to talk more about Nolensville high school football. Yes. That's actually a term that my kid has used a little bit on, you know, zone, played a team that played a lot of zone, had a lot of zone running schemes, which hadn't happened a lot this year. And that's one of those things, like you have to be patient and stay in your gap. If you play peekaboo, get into the other gap up, all of a sudden, you know, there's a cutback lane and you know, you got problems. So there you go. A lot of peekaboo. Hey,
a lot of peekaboo talk. It's important. You got to stay disciplined in there. There's a lot of problems with this Titans team that we've discussed. I guess the one thing defensively that I'm not necessarily panicking about yet, just because it doesn't happen to them very often, is the run defense. Like, I feel like they'll get part of that figured out as they move forward here. Now, are they going to be the top defense in the league at stopping the run like they have been the last couple of years? I don't know. That was not very good on Sunday, but I'm not panicking on that front yet. I think they'll get that part of it figured out. It's kind of a one-game thing based on what we've seen from the Titans defense to this point, but that's the one thing that they can't afford to happen. Like, they can't afford to be as poor as they've been against the pass and then all of a sudden just forget how to stop the run. I mean, they're totally screwed defensively if they don't get that figured out as they move forward.
Right. Like, when they have a bad game, like Cleveland, for example, they're talking about how they stopped the run. It's like, great, stop the run. Who cares? You know, you gave up all these big plays. But, of course, it's important. I mean, because if a team can do that too, then the everything is available and you're just in conflict, you know, most of the game, and you're just going to have a real tough time. So I agree. I think this is going to end up being probably the worst, you know, run stopping game, unless they lose a bunch of players, that they'll have this year. They'll probably figure it out. Look, your tart is important, but you know, Jeffrey Simmons. I think that they'll still be good in that way. I don't know that they'll be good in giving up the explosive plays or not giving up the explosive plays. But when you let a team run the ball, man, those explosive plays are so much easier to come by for them.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including one thing about Mike Vrabel that could be concerning for the Titans as they move forward. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 o'clock at home against Louisiana Tech. Pre-game beginning at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and in 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans with him and the Predators as the Preds open up their season tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, Joe, a lot of discussion around Vrabel and this Titans team right now. We've had the discussion that some have brought up on the text line about his job security and what does that look like and at what point is Vrabel on the hot seat. I think you and I have both agreed that that's probably not happening at any point this year. Now, if they're bad this year, then maybe heading into next year, it could be a different story. But what about just from inside the room? You know, Vrabel's been here a while now, you know, since 2018. He's had lots of success. There have been lots of good teams, good seasons that the Titans have had. Lots of players that have been around for a decent amount at this point as well. And the idea that some have thrown out there and that we're going to discuss now, that is it possible that Vrabel, his voice in the room, maybe it's not making quite the same impact? We talk about this with coaches all the time. I mean, it kind of makes me think back to Peter Laviolette, right? Of like the voice in the room, like at some point there's an expiration date on that and it just gets a little old. What about that with Vrabel? Do you think that could be part of what we're seeing right now with the Titans? How do you view Vrabel in that regard?
Yeah, Laviolette's a great example. Some coaches are really effective But then for whatever reason, it seems like, you know, it gets stale or whatever, and it's time to move on. Like in basketball, the classic example of that is Larry Brown. Larry Brown is like a great coach, and he's been like, he's been everywhere, coached every team ever. And he's had big success. You know, obviously, like, for example, he, you know, won a championship with the Pistons, had great teams, but then it was also, then everybody's like, please leave, Larry. That's enough. Go away. Yeah. And I just, so there are people like that. And then there are people like, you know, to me, the model kind of for what Vrabel's trying to do here. Well, I think Baltimore is the model. That's what's interesting, because especially Baltimore this week. Now, the difference is now they have, you know, the quarterback, whether, I know there's a wide range of opinions on Lamar Jackson. I think if you watch Lamar Jackson this week, I mean, you know, this 10 points is an absolute crime, and that is like his team letting him down. But regardless, they have him, and Mike Tomlin had Roethlisberger. But those are the two examples, right, of like kind of programs that gets established, and then there's a certain level of expectation, and there's a certain style of play that you kind of expect. And frankly, it's kind of the same style of play, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's just, you know, like the deep, I mean, I know for Baltimore, like special teams has been a huge thing for them and their success, but you know, it's tough defense, and it's just physical football. It's probably more physical brand of football than most of the rest of the league plays. And it's interesting, because I feel like what Vrabel here in year six, I mean, it's kind of what he's been establishing, you know. But maybe, you know, does that, but maybe it does get old. I don't know. I think it comes to mind, one, because I've always thought that this could end up being a Baltimore type thing, Pittsburgh type thing, with a coach in place for a long time and players come and go, but you got a certain level of play that you're, and like, you're just never going to be terrible, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know that that's going to be, that's how I've kind of looked at it, but maybe that's not it. I don't know. It comes to mind too, because obviously last week Vrabel talked about the message of validating how we play and all that stuff. And I mean, look, they didn't play well. So what does that mean? I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk about, is his message getting through? If you ask me, I still think it's, I think the bigger problem for this team is, like, you're talking about things getting old. You know, the best players on this team are getting old, and there aren't many young players on this team who are very good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the bigger problem, but I think it's worth bringing up. I mean, for fear of feeding chum to the sharks, because of course, remember, Vrabel is a terrible coach. He should be fired any minute. I mean, I assume he should be fired today.
Yes.
Got to make sure that we have that disclaimer on the show every day. But, you know, I think it's an interesting idea. I mean, if you ask me, it's just like the whole Vrabel Ohio State thing. It's an interesting situation. It's still out there, by the way. But, you know, if forced to guess, I would guess that he would pick, you know, the NFL over that job. I think it could be interesting if that particular place came after him. Forced to guess here, I don't think it's a Vrabel voice problem. But obviously this team has just been so inconsistent and coming off just a really bad defensive performance, especially, which is a problem.
Yeah, no question about that. It's interesting. I mean, you bring up the young players, right? And Mike Herndon from PaulKaharsky.com put this out there yesterday. And it's pretty, like, we know it's not new information. We know it. But it's pretty jarring when you see it just kind of laid out the way that Herndon laid it out. And I'll briefly just kind of read through this real quick. The Titans draft picks in rounds 1 through 3 since 2020. Isaiah Wilson off the team. Christian Fulton, a starter, playing horribly right now. Darrington Evans off the team. There's your 2020 draft. 2021, Caleb Farley, injured reserve. Dylan Radins, backup guard. Monty Rice, backup inside linebacker. Elijah Molden, backup safety. There's your 21 draft. 22 in the first three picks. Treylon Burks, hurt, not playing well. Roger McCreary, slot cornerback, is playing well. Petit Frere, backup tackle. Malik Willis, backup quarterback. And then in 23, Skoronski, starting guard, playing well. Levis, third-string quarterback. Tyjae Spears, backup running back, looks great. So Herndon's point through all that was, from all that, you've got four starters, two of which who are actually playing well out of all those draft picks.
Yeah, that pretty much lays out where this roster is. And you draft poorly like that over that period of time, it's going to catch up with you. And it's caught up with them. I mean, it just has. And so, you know, just coming off this last game, you know, you're looking at Autry. We said it last offseason. Does he have another year of being like a player of that level? He's looked like it at times this year. Obviously, Simmons gets paid. He's a critically important player. Every game that he doesn't totally dominate, like this last one, fans are going to complain, but that goes with the territory.
Yep.
Byard. We just talked about how Byard, you know, wasn't at fault on that play. Byard has not made enough plays, but no. they need more play. They need Byard to make plays, you know? So, and you know, you go up another list. Like Derrick Henry, he's still really good, but I thought last game, you know, Derrick Henry, there were some, maybe some things left on the field for him too. So, you know, I think it's more that, you know, I think it's more that. Now, again, if you want to keeping it in Vrabel, keeping it focused on Vrabel, there's another interesting aspect of that, Robbie, which I don't know the answer at all, but you know, it is funny how Robinson's greatest drafts, other than the greatest draft he had was, well, it was either his first one or it was the first one he had with Vrabel as coach, right? Well, actually, I'm sorry. Vrabel was in there for 18, which wasn't a good draft. But point being, a lot of these drafts, you know, Vrabel was in the room. So, yeah. And that's the thing. So people want to divorce him from that and blame everything on John Robinson. I never thought that that was fair. I mean, even if he doesn't have, quote, final say, he has say, right?
Sure.
And so yeah, moving forward from his perspective, I mean, if you don't have better drafts, then I think Vrabel as a talent evaluator really becomes something that's a problem. Because the Niners, we just talked about how great they are. You know, they got a GM, but everybody knows that, like, Shanahan's picking his groceries, and he is doing one hell of a job.
Yeah, like I think a lot of the conversation around Vrabel and is maybe his voice losing a little bit of luster in the locker room. Honestly, to me, a lot of the reaction I've seen to that this week specifically is with Christian Fulton. And it's talking about Fulton, of the player that he was, that we thought he was, and what we've seen so far on the field. And specifically from this Sunday, like Vrabel's comments of coaching him up at halftime and Fulton still making some of the same mistakes after half. Like, in the conversation that I've seen on Twitter from some Titans fans is like, if Vrabel's coaching him up, like, why did that not change after halftime? Like, right now, I put that more on Christian Fulton just being a little bit lost out there and not playing well than I do like this overarching theme from Vrabel that he's lost his voice within the team. That's just me. I think a lot of this conversation this week is really about Christian Fulton.
No, I think for sure. I think it's like you have Fulton, and then again, like I said, like the whole Vrabel told us after the game that it was like validate how we play week, and it's like, wow, then you didn't play at all how you want to play, and you let a team, you know, run for 200 on you basically. But you're right, Fulton also a big part of that for sure. And hey, look, when it comes down to it, I agree with what Vrabel said yesterday. At some point, it's professional sports, and some of his comments yesterday made me think that they may be looking at Fulton sitting down. I don't know, but it's also Vrabel's job and the coach's job to reach him and to figure it out. I mean, it reflects on them too. If he continues to make the mistakes that he's making at a high rate,
we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Do you feel like it's possible that maybe Vrabel has lost a little bit of his voice in the room? We'll continue the conversation on that. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there with Mike Vrabel, do we think it's possible that Vrabel's voice maybe not making quite the same impact in the room? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. I don't know that I buy into that right now, Joe. I look at the situation the Titans are in. We just went through the draft picks and everything that's happened there. And now you fired your general manager last year. You're kind of holding on this year, trying to make one more run with your core. And I look at some of the players that are in here. And by the way, there's been some roster turnover. So it's not like this is the same group that they've just had the last few years. Like, they need more of their younger guys to step up. Like, think about how much of an impact we thought Burks was going to have on this team this year. Well, so far, partly due to injury, partly due to performance, they've gotten almost nothing out of him outside of one play. Okonkwo, which we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second. Like, he's not giving them what they thought they were going to get out of him this year. I mean, you look at other players offensively, obviously the offensive line, we can revisit that laundry list of players that they've tried to draft and plug in there that have not worked out to this point on the offensive line. Like, they're in the NFL, when you start paying some of your guys, like you've paid Tannehill and you paid Derrick Henry and you've paid Jeffrey Simmons and you've done all these things, you need younger guys on cheaper deals to come in and to make big time deal and make big time plays for you and to be really reliable players. And Joe, as I'm looking around the roster, like, how many young guys that aren't making a lot of money, like, how many of those guys are making plays on a week-in, week-out basis for the Titans? It's not very many of them. Like, Roger McCreary, I would put him there. Like, he plays, he's pretty good. Like, he's played pretty well. Like, offensively, I like what I've seen from Spears so far. Chig, nah, not much to this point. Like, you need your younger guys that aren't making a lot of money, your draft picks, to come in and make big plays for you. And when you don't have that, it's really hard to put together a team that has any sort of consistency whatsoever. And that's what we're seeing from the Titans right now.
Right. Like, we have talked at times about last year's draft class as in, it could end up being pretty good, but right now you're not getting what you hoped at all from Burks or Chig. You know, there's Kyle Phillips. He's back. So we'll see if that becomes something. I mean, Petit Frere going into this year, you know, you had big plans for Burks, Petit Frere, Chig for sure. And then wait and see on Kyle Phillips. Like you said, Roger McCreary is good, but yeah, obviously then you go before that and it's tough, man. I mean, it's tough sledding. I mean, you got guys like a Rashad Weaver is helping and Elijah Molden's out there. But like Farley Raidens, as we've talked about, Farley Raidens Rice. I mean, Farley Raidens Rice, man. 1, 2, 3, you know?
What a stretch.
Yeah. And this year, like you've got Wiley maybe emerging a little bit more. Spears is good. I mean, Spears, was he maybe the most complained about pick? He probably was, right? I mean,
the standpoint of him not having an ACL, yeah.
Right, no ACL, and, you know, running back where everybody figured they'd take receiver, right?
Right.
And he's good. I mean, you know, so, I mean, this year looked good. But then again, you go through the drafts, and again, you're reminded that there's two guys who aren't playing at all who are, you know, QB2, QB3. So, yeah, it's like you have to have that. You have to have young guys not yet making money who are really key players. If you know, go back to Fulton, you know, much discussed this year, that has been a good pick. And now this year, all of a sudden it's like a big problem, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that 20, you know, those drafts are killing the Titans right now. So that's a big part of it. But yeah, look, I do think that I'm with you. I think Vrabel Vrabel has an effective way of doing things, and it's at this point year six. Now, again, for a terrible coach, you should be fired.
Yes.
Yes. But no, I mean, he has an effective way of doing things. So, I don't think that's the issue. It is also, even through the good years, there has just been this weird thing of surprising us so often, more good than bad, but also still surprising us in a bad way too. So he hasn't been able to figure that out.
Will on the text line says Vrabel's message is 100% not getting through to the players. A great example is how the players constantly blame officiating instead of taking accountability. Vrabel himself takes zero accountability himself, which does not help. This is from Will on the text line. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I would agree with you to an extent on the blaming the ref stuff. That's got to stop. I mean, you know, like we made a lot of it. I made a lot of it after Cleveland with Simmons. And obviously Simmons yelled at Kaherski and whatever happened there.
He did.
But I think they're fine now. And then like, yeah, Fulton the other day talking, you know, playing against the refs. It's like, nah, man, you're not playing against the refs. I mean, you know, you can talk about that one if you want. But like the other PI on Pittman, there's no need. Like there's just no need. You're transitioning and you just grab them. And that had no chance of being completed. So I'm with you on that. Now, as far as Vrabel himself taking zero accountability, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that. You agree with that?
No. Look, he talks about the need to, we're going to bring it back up again, but the coach better, play better stuff. Like
Bill Belichick said that exactly the other day.
He did. He did say that. I saw that. I don't know that I buy that Vrabel takes zero accountability. Now, you know, can Vrabel be a little hard-headed sometimes? Yeah, I think that that's for sure. But I don't know that he takes zero accountability. The officiating part of it, I talked about this yesterday. I don't really want to hear the Titans do that again this year. Like to me, they've had one opportunity this year to have a valid complaint about officiating. And that's when Derek Carr's fumble was called incomplete and they didn't do it at that point. Nobody was complaining about it after the game. So other than that, like, I think the officiating is gone. No officiating is perfect. The NFL at times has problems with officials, but I don't feel like the Titans' overarching theme of the season is that they've been screwed by the officials so far this year. So
not even close.
No, not even close. So I'm tired of hearing about that. Like they need to stop talking about the officials after the game as they move forward here. But I don't know that one of my prevailing takeaways from Vrabel has been that he's just absent of all accountability.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, maybe I know it's so rarely satisfying for fans when things are going bad and whatever the coach says, you know, we got to do better. Starts with me, coach better, play better, whatever it is.
Right.
Like I know some people would get mad. Coaches I've covered in the past where it's like, well, we got out play, we got out coach, you know, well, how did you get out coach? You know, tell us what happened. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a thing you just throw out, but I mean, you do have to do it. But to me, that is like in that setting, that isn't that taking accountability, you know, I mean, like no one's going to sit there and say, and then on Tuesday, you know, right. I should have broken down a little bit more film on third down, but you know what? I ordered a freaking pizza and then I fell asleep on my couch, guys. I'm sorry. You know, and if I would have not done that, then we probably would have won. You know, the people aren't going to, they're going to be general and vague and all that stuff. I think Vrabel obviously gets prickly and stuff, and that fans, you know, react to that. But that, I don't think that's the same as not taking accountability. Alex from Montreal says he sounds defeated sometimes, which is an interesting. I'm sure. You know, I guess I could.
Well, you know, I don't know that I'll go defeated, but I do detect frustration from him. You know,
deservedly so.
Yeah, that's warranted, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know. He's no different from a lot of other coaches in this way. Like after a game, especially a game in which they lose and they look like they did on Sunday, there's going to be a pretty high level of frustration, right? I mean, it's part of, you put so much energy and effort into it, and then you come out and you look like that on a Sunday, there's going to be some frustration. So that's why like the post-game press conference from a head coach is rarely going to be satisfactory for the fans in terms of taking accountability. Because honestly, at that point, and we know this, Joe, they're looking to get the heck out of there. Like that's what it is. They're up there, they're answering questions, and they're looking to get the heck out of there as quickly as they possibly can. So I don't know that I have detected anything that from Vrabel where he sounds defeated this year. Frustrated 100%. I thought he was still frustrated yesterday on the Monday after the game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Not without question. Will follows up. I feel like the Vrabel culture of old is fading. Players are tuning out. I'm seeing some stuff about like the defense quitting and players and quitting. And nobody's quitting. And the defense, Wes is like, defense mad about the offense. They're not playing hard. You know, it's all, it ties into like, just go out there and get crushed the rest of the year so we can get a higher pick. I mean, you know, I don't think, like, think about how much pain these guys go through to play football, like, cause they do. You get to this point of a year, it's very hard to win. There's a ton that goes into it. No one's quitting or all that. Like, the players
may just not be all that good.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the thing. I think that Vrabel has a system, like a process and all that. And if you want to talk about trust in the process, that works. It's harder. It's harder to work if you are overmatched at too many positions. And I just think this is a very, you know, this team is not as good as I thought it was. I would say right now, I feel comfortable saying that. And I think that's the bigger problem. Now, it's a big challenge with that to, you know, to keep it together and to get it going back and to find these little things on the margins to get yourself wins. Cause this team has to do a lot of things right and cut down the mistakes to have a chance week to week. It's always like that in this league, but I think this team, the margin for error is very small.
Coming up next, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including one part of this defense that Rex Road has to shut down the narrative of. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is half off a $50 gift card for Big Play Hendersonville. They offer everything from bowling to laser tag, indoor go-karts, bumper cars, an arcade, fantastic food, and more. Right now, you can get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and check out all that they offer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, lots of thoughts, lots of opinions on the Titans' defense this week, but there's one narrative that maybe you're growing a little bit tired of as it relates to the Titans defense.
Yeah, I don't know if this will shut it down. This probably guarantees it'll just get brought up more. So maybe this is a huge mistake on my part. It's like, you know, tell your teenager, you know, don't do something. It doubles the chance it'll be done. You should do the opposite, right?
Right.
But like, I just don't understand. Jim Schwartz was here. Jim Schwartz, I mean, he's talked about this now extensively after the fact. You know, he wasn't made available here. Now that he's with Cleveland, he's talked about how, you know, he was having health issues and stuff like that. He also had a certain time of life with his kids at a certain point. He needed to take a break, step back, and not be doing the full-on grind of being a coach. As everybody knows around here, Jim Schwartz is one heck of a defensive coordinator, has been for a long time in this league. Pretty good. Yeah, he was fine as a head coach. I mean, it was the Lions, so it's a huge asterisk next to his name. But like this idea that maybe he was the key, like Jim Schwartz wasn't even allowed, like his role, he wasn't allowed to coach players, you know? So like, I understand he was here. They were good. Now they're bad. All that stuff. This kind of goes along the same discussion, right? Is it the coaches and their voice? Is it a coaching issue? Chuck says, did Vrabel make a mistake and coach this team like they're a bunch of veterans? I mean, I think every team has a mix of veterans and young players, and you bring in the young guys and you show them how things are done. This team is loaded with veterans, right? And any coach will tell you a player coach team is critical. And this team has good leaders. They just aren't very good in too many spots. But Jim Schwartz, you know, I'm sure he helped. I'm sure he was in the room, you know, and I've talked to some people. Smart guy. And of course, like they leaned on his expertise and knowledge and he chimed in with some stuff and he was around and things like that. But this idea that he was like he was the guy behind the curtain, you know, and he was the true wizard. It's not accurate. It just kind of goes along with like Jim Schwartz knew this Titans offense inside and out, and that's why the Browns, it's not the same offense. But his great players with Cleveland did kick the crap out of the Titans that day. There is no doubt about that. I would just like that one to die. Could that one die? I would ask for that one to die.
I hope we get a few more texts about it on the text line as the year goes on. The Titans continue to struggle, Jim Schwartz, bring him back.
It was him all along. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, Tyler agrees with me. Says, I don't want to hear any more about shorts. Doesn't run the same scheme. Vrabel wants to run. He's never going to be the choice for D coordinator. Yeah, I mean, well, there's that. You know, he has his way and all that. But
look,
yeah.
the Shane Bowen conversation, right? Remember when Shane Bowen was the defensive coordinator, but he wasn't the D coordinator, and there was no title given to him, and the Titans defense was horrible that year, right? Well, then he comes back, and they name Shane Bowen the actual defensive coordinator, and the defense since then has been good. So, like, nobody, very few Titans fans have had a problem with Shane Bowen over the last couple of years just because the defense has been good. Now, Schwartz was there for that, but as you said, like, what exactly was his role and how involved was he? I don't know. Like, so, I mean, this so far this year, the coaching part of this that's really interesting to me is bringing Chris Harris in the secondary. Like, how is Christian Fulton gone from being a good player to what we've seen the last two times they've been on the road? Why does there appear to be like so much miscommunication happening out there on a defense where you've got Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker back there calling the shots and doing, you know, the communication part of it? Like, that to me is the more interesting coaching part of this right now, is the secondary looks absolutely terrible, and that was supposed to be fixed this offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's been talked about a little bit about the changes, and maybe that's been a little bit of the issue, you know. On my own personal text line, Jared says the defense didn't quit, they're just soft, and also that Fulton's mistakes dragged down the entire defense's momentum. I think there's probably some truth to that. I think Fulton has just had so many moments that have, you know, third and long, and it is tough. And I think we've talked about this, but, you know, huge thing that Vrabel talks about, every coach does, but if you start getting to finger pointing and all that stuff, you know, that's a real problem in a locker room, and the Titans don't do that. And I don't think they will, but it's funny. Like, even like Byard again, like after the last game, no, we're not going to finger point. We're not going to, you know, we're going to find solutions, all that stuff. I mean, they're actively, you know, trying to prevent finger pointing, but there is no doubt to me that, and go back to last year, like, especially when the front plays well. They didn't play well last game, but when they play well, stop the run, get after the quarterback, and then still giving up big shots, yeah, there's absolutely frustration for those guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Simmons many times said we can't give up X plays. I mean, obviously, that's the secondary. I'm not saying he's pointing the finger, but it is frustrating. I'm sure it absolutely frustrates those guys. I'm sure right now a lot of guys are frustrated with Fulton in the locker room. Why wouldn't you be? I mean, he's supposed to be one of your best corner, and he's making mistake after mistake, but no one's going to call him out. And if that happens, then you really, you know, then you got stuff with when public call outs happen, and you got a real problem.
Well, but, look, we talked about the Fulton part of this earlier in the show in terms of Rabel's comments yesterday, basically being like, you know, this is professional sports. At some point you got to perform. Like, did that change your view on how the Titans might handle Fulton as they move forward here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess certainly it was another strong quote, and he's had a few about it. There's no question he's frustrated with Fulton.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he acknowledged that he thought about pulling him out of the game. So, but I don't know. I mean, I think some of it, the question was along the lines of, right? It wasn't the question like, well, what do you need to do, or how do you work with him? I think it was like TD. So, I mean, I think that's also a response to the question, which is like, he is a pro. He's got to figure it out. So if he's a pro, he's got to figure it out. I assume that means he's on the field, right?
I assume.
So, you know, I don't look at that as like confirmation, but I would say, look, if he's going to come out and hurt the team more and more and more, then yeah, I mean, at some point you have to at least do it for a little bit. I'm just think long term for this team. Like, again, like I just said, margin for error is thin, and it's not good enough at too many positions. And so if you take that guy out of the equation, because we know what he is when he's good, you know, you just make it tougher on yourself. I mean, you need him to figure it out.
So real quickly, before we get to Caroline coming up here in just a few minutes, got a lot of text so far this morning about Jeffrey Simmons and the way that he played on Sunday and being too invisible is what somebody said on the text line. What do you make of the Jeffrey Simmons part of this? The contract, which everybody's pointing to when you start talking about Jeffrey Simmons, maybe not making an impact on the game. But I am, when the injury report comes out this week, I'm interested to see if he's on it and how much he's practicing, because he took a pop early in that game.
Yeah, you know, Simmons is – well, let me tie this to something LD said, okay? Said these players are human, therefore they can say to themselves, oh, well, I lost, but it is what it is, and they can think that way because they've already won. They're handsomely paid NFL players. That's why some fans perceive that players quit or don't care. And he is handsomely paid. I'll tell you, that guy, week after week, busts his butt out there, is violent, is a very good player. He wasn't effective last week. I'm assuming the injury had something to do with it. I don't know that, but it kind of adds up. And that guy cares a ton about winning. That guy is devastated when they lose, and he wants to win. So, look, when someone gets a deal like that, some fans are automatically going to go there. I would not go there with Jeff Simmons. I don't think that's an issue. And it's the same kind of thing. We talk about quitting all the time, Robbie. It's like, go out there and quit. Go out there and just throw your helmet out there. See what happens to you, you know?
Yeah.
And you know how hard it is to even stay in this league? Yes, he gets paid a ton. Most of these guys are not multimillionaires. They're trying to stay in the league and, you know, tier tart. I mean, he's going to make a decent contract, but it's taken him a long time, a lot of years to get to that. It's just, it's a way overblown idea.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton from Caroline Willie and D-Mace. We'll get into a little college football with her. Steve Lehman coming up at 8:00. We'll get into the Titans and the Predators opening up their season today in Tampa. All that's coming up later in the show today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.